session number 24573, reel 12. Mr. Darcy, reel 12.
Right.
How did you take to, I mean, you've been an officer in Iran,
that's
you've
right.
been a lieutenant,
that's
a,
right.
A senior officer,
that's right, yeah.
In a sense. How did you take to, you know, this training process?
I didn't mind it at all. I've always been a very easygoing bloke. I've never stood on ceremony at any time with anybody. Didn't like it when I was in the service or any other time. So when I went to Fraserburgh, I was quite happy to learn. I wanted to learn. The products we made were, to me, absolutely fascinating. We made an enormous variety of power tools, both pneumatic and also high-frequency electric tools, and a very big range of portable and stationary air compressors. And I found this a really fascinating subject, the whole thing. So I went through a very rigorous training period in various departments of the factory. Up there, learning, as I say, how the things were made, how the parts were made in the machine shop, how the parts were heat treated in the heat treatment department, how the tools were assembled, how they were tested, and how they operated, how you worked them, and what you could do with them, and all the rest of it. And I was up in Fraserburgh, I should think, for 3 months, at least. Anyway, the next thing, they said, right, from here, from Fraserburgh, we're going to send you to Newcastle office. We had an office we had offices all over the country, sales offices. And we're going to send you to Newcastle, and you're going to spend a month there going around with the salesmen, which I did. And I found that fascinating as well, meeting the customers, because Newcastle had a wonderful customer base. There were an awful lot of coal mines, there were shipyards, there were steel companies. Every conceivable type of industrial organisation was to be found in the northeast of England. And I found it fascinating going around and seeing how everything was done and how the tools were used and how you sold them and everything. So I did a month or so of that. Then I went back to the office in London. And now I'm based back in London again in the sales office. And I did a stint of probably 2 or 3 months of normal sales office clerical work, processing the paperwork, seeing how it all went through, and dealing with customers' complaints and quotations and everything else. And then one day they sent for me, the sales manager, Major Izod, sent for me, and he said, right, we can offer you a job now as a salesman if you want to go. The job is at our Leeds office. And it will mean you'll have to move up there, obviously, and live up there. So go and talk to your wife about it and come back tomorrow morning and let me know what you want to do. So I spoke to Peggy. We agreed this was what we've got to do. So anyway, the long and short of it was, at the beginning of 1947, I went to Leeds. This was in about March, I suppose. And I had nowhere to live at that stage, so the company put me up in a hotel called the Mount Hotel in Leeds, very nice of them, and I stayed there for about a month, I suppose, during which I started working as a sales rep in the Leeds office, and had to look around for a house or a flat or whatever, and finally I found a nice, big, comfortable house in a little town called Ilkley, of which everyone's heard. We rented this place because we had no question of buying it at that time. Didn't have enough money anyway to even consider that. But we got it at a very reasonable rental. And I sent for my wife and our furniture and daughter and everything else. And they all came up to Leeds and out to Ilkley. And we lived there in Ilkley for 5.5 years, I suppose.
Did you find in your naval experiences, were they... handy to you?
Oh, yes. Contact with people. This is the thing. As a sales representative, the first thing you sell, always, is yourself. Before you even sell the first nut or bolt of a product, you sell yourself to the customer. You get the customer to... The customer's got to like you. And this is something that you learn. Well, you don't learn it, it becomes automatic. If you've been in the service, you've got to get on with people. And I was able to get on, I always got on very well with people. And that's the simple truth of the matter. So the Navy had been a useful thing for me in that sense.
We won't run through the whole of your career.
No,
but
of course
you stayed with that firm, didn't
you? Yes, indeed. I stayed with that firm until I finally retired at the age of 60. I was a sales representative in Leeds for 5.5 years. Then I transferred back to London because my mother wasn't very well and she lived in London. I wanted to get back, and the company were able to transfer me back to the head office in London, working out of the London office, you see, as a salesman still. That was in 1952 when I came back. In about 1957, I was promoted to be a district manager, one of the three district managers operating out of the London head office. And I became a district manager then with a group of salesmen under me and my own office and all the rest of it. And then in about 1962 or 3 maybe, I was made assistant to the British sales manager. And I moved then out of my normal sales office into the sales administration side of the business, where I became, my boss, who was the sales manager at that time, responsible for all the British branches, from Glasgow right down to Bridgend, and including Ireland as well. So we were therefore jointly responsible for the way the whole British sales organisation was operated. And I did that job for two sales managers. The one guy died, I'm afraid, and then the other bloke who was brought in to do it was a very senior man. He was brought in, and I worked for him until 68, 69, something like that. And then there was a reorganization in the company originating in America, and I was then transferred, because I spoke French, I was then transferred to the European side of our business, taken out of the British sales organization, and I was made what they called Marketing Manager Europe. And I was responsible, therefore, for all the sales distributors in all the various countries of Europe. We had our own companies in France, Belgium, Italy, and Germany, the biggest countries in Europe, really. But in other countries, we had sales distributors, and I was responsible for all the sales distributors, right the way from Finland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, Spain, Portugal, etc., etc., etc. And I did that then for some time, and then there was another reorganization, and I then became... I was asked to go to France. They'd had some trouble with the French company, and the PDG, the Président Directeur Général, as he was, of the French company, had left under a cloud. And so they sent me to Paris to run the French company until they could find somebody else, a Frenchman, to run it. So I was out there for, I don't know, getting on for 2 years, I should think, living in Paris. I used to live there all the week and come home at weekends. It was very nice, really. anyway, after that, I went back to the sort of marketing side and the rest of the whole of Europe, and I carried on doing that until 1983, by which time I was 60 years of age. And I was able to retire without any actuarial loss to my pension. So I had 43 years service. They counted all my service right from the time I joined them at the age of 17, right through the war and everything else. They counted all of that as service with the company. So it meant that I was able to retire on a very good pension, 2/3, which is all you're allowed anyway, under the rules, a 2/3 pension, which I'm still drawing because it goes up every year under some percentage increase. And that's it. That's
what about your links with your old comrades? Which association? You're in the Captain's Class Association.
Yes.
Tell me about which associations you're a member of, Naval Association.
Well, I'm a member of the Herne Bay branch of the Royal Naval Association.
What does that do?
Well, it's an old boys' club, really. It's a bit like the British Legion sort of thing, really. It doesn't have any very specific function. It's simply a thing where you're a part of the service still. You're sort of regarded as a part of the service. You march on these Remembrance Sunday marches. We have a meeting every month. Where we all get together and we have a chat and a drink. We have mess deck suppers, as we call them, 2 or 3 times a year, and all that sort of thing. It's a very local, social thing, and branches meet other branches from time to time for little jolly ups, you know, of one sort and another. But it's nothing very alarming. And the Captain Class Frigate Association is something that really only meets once or twice a year.
What attracted you to that?
Well, because I'm in it, because I was in one. And I've never met anybody else much who ever even heard of them. And who are absolutely astonished when I tell them that there were no less than 77 or 78 of them in the Royal Navy during the war. And it was just interesting, and it's nice to meet other blokes possibly who were in your ship.
There isn't a Gore Association?
No, there isn't a Gore Association. There never was.
Did you meet many of them?
I've met Jim Luff, of course. There was Harry Ramsden. He was an interesting character. You've heard of Harry Ramsden's fish and chip shop in Yorkshire at Guiseley. Harry Ramsden, young Harry Ramsden, was an officer's cook in the Gore. And he used to tell his shipmates, his messmates, about his father's fish and chip shop that had a car park for 300 cars and a turnover of God knows what, and nobody believed him. But in fact, it was absolutely true. He was the son of the original Harry Ramsden, and he inherited whatever there was to inherit, so he did very well for himself in the finish. And Harry Ramsden's is still going strong to this day. An enormous place, as I say, it's at Guiseley in Yorkshire. Anyway, he suddenly appeared on the telephone one day a few years ago, absolutely out of the blue. In fact, my wife Sheila, who answered the telephone, thought it was another Yorkshire friend of ours having a joke when this chap said he was Harry Ramsden. Anyway, he'd got hold of my name and address from somewhere, and he wanted to make contact. And he said, yes, I'd love to. So we were going to meet up at another organisation called the Escort Group Association, which was having a meeting in Blackpool at the Stretton Hotel. And Harry was going to come over, and we were going to meet up for the first time in 50 years, you know, and all this sort of thing. But the poor chap developed cancer, and he never made it. He couldn't come to the meeting, which devastated him. He was in and out of hospital, operations and all the rest of it. And I never got to meet him again. I was very, very sad about that. Very sad. I'd met Jim Luff, whom you've heard of.
We interviewed him, yes.
Yeah, you know him. Of course you do. That's right. And more recently, I met Ken Taylor, who was our leading telegraphist on the Gore, and who went on to become a PO telegraphist before he left the Gore. And then after that, he stayed in the Navy as a regular. He became a chief PO telegraphist and had a very distinguished career in the service as a telegraphic operator. And I've met him recently at the Captain Class Frigate Association due last April. But that was it, really and truly.
It's just nice for you to meet people who served in the same ship.
Oh, lovely, yes, and also particularly nice to meet blokes who served in the same ship. See, like Luff and Ken Taylor, you know.
You're not worried about, obviously, not worried about maintaining any sort of distance between officers and men.
Absolutely not. Not the slightest bit. I never really thought a lot of that when I was in the service.
Thank you very much.
To be perfectly honest.